All right. So, get it started. I'm talking about the title of my message is Never Back Down. Around 1940, I believe. That's when the Germans bombed England. I think it was known as the Blitz Battle, maybe. You can fact check that. Yeah. During that time, there's a guy named Winston Churchill. For those of you that don't know much about him, he was an important man of important leader back in the 20th century. He was a statesman, a writer, prime minister. Anyways, during that time, they were getting bombed day after day, and Winston Churchill said, "Never, never give in. No matter the pressure, we will fight on the land or the sea. Never yield to pressure or force. It doesn't matter." The pressure, Winston was not going to accept defeat. He was going to fight till the end. So I got to figure out some way to get that in. So to me, whenever Stacy's lovely son, it's not about you. It's not about you. We can't talk about you here. But anyways, he's got a horse and doesn't like the load. Well, with horses, you can do pressure and release. Well, they're going to give to the pressure eventually. Or the same thing, people that don't own horses. You know, you can, if sports, you always want to try to pressure the other team so that they give in. That's the goal. So that's what the enemy wants you to do is give in. That's the same thing we need to do as a church. We cannot give in. We have a fight. We have to fight till the end. There's so many people. They have given up and lost hope. I didn't give Lauren any scriptures, so you guys can read them later. James 2:26 talks about the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without works. So you have to work for faith to work. Faith is not something you can sit around. It takes practice every day. Like anything we do in life, your job or whatever, you gotta keep doing it to be better. There's a guy my dad told me about. His name was Ben. I don't know how to say his last name. No idea how to say it. Anyways, he was in the 1st Marine Division in Korea at the Chosin Reservoir. He said that when they were fighting, it was a running fight. He said they were overtaken and everyone was saying retreat, retreat. And Oliver P. Smith, their Marine Corps general and the commanding officer of the 1st Marine Division during the Battle of the Chosin War said, retreat? Hell, we're just going to advance in a different way. That's what the church is. Have that mindset. If you get knocked down, don't retreat. Retreat in a different way. When we were in school, when we were playing basketball, our coach and assistant coach, well, our assistant coach, Chris Hastings, he always, first hour we did ball handling. And one of the things we did, you know, to get warmed up and everything, we would do a thing called a retreat. Well, we'd dribble three dribbles forward, or we'd go forward, we didn't have nothing, we'd do three dribbles back, cross over, go the other way. So we retreat, cross over, and find a different direction up the court. And, that whenever, think of Winston Churchill, think of a retreat dribble. Allen's here. If he was coaching his team, was getting full court press, and they're running down the sideline and getting trapped every time, he's probably going to call a timeout and tell them, get the ball in the middle. That's how you got to beat the press. You got to retreat. You got to get out of the corner. You got to go back and get to the middle, which we know Allen wouldn't allow us. Kids to get down the bait sideline anyways in the first place. So he would have them in the middle of the court. Ben said the things were overwhelming, so overwhelming. They had fought so much fatigue that if they went to sleep, they would freeze to death. He said they ran so hard they would send two waves. The first wave was machine guns. They'd send machine guns and they'd knock them down. They'd send the second wave. They would send guys with sticks. They didn't have anything else. So when they knocked the guys with the machine guns down, they would grab their grab their machine guns, go up the second wave. Then enemy attack was so overwhelming when they advanced, they couldn't even walk on the ground. There were so many bodies, they literally had to walk on bodies to advance because it was so thick and overwhelming. It doesn't matter how hopeless it looks, like, don't ever retreat. We've got to fight faith to the end. The good fight of faith. Faith will not flourish without a fight. It can't. The enemy will leave you alone when you're not using faith. But the moment you start walking in faith is when the enemy starts knocking on the door. He wants to fight you. So that's why you've been fighting. You might say, why, God? Well, I'll tell you why, God. God is working in your life. The body of Christ gives up too easy. When it gets hard, they start saying, well, you know, maybe it's not God's will. Maybe he doesn't want this. Well, let me tell you this. God's will is for us and not against us. He wants us to be above only and not beneath. When I first read that, I was like, above only? Well, it's in my mind, you know, I've been beating my head all this time, above only and not beneath. I'm like, what is above only? And so I looked it up in a definition of above only, and it is the position of leadership and prosperity, never in a struggling position. That's Deuteronomy 28:13. So, sorry, my mouth was dry. So, position of leadership and prosperity is above only. Never struggling, never in a struggling position. You can write that down if you want, above only. One thing I was going to say, just whenever you're thinking or by yourself, just say over yourself, I'm above only, not beneath. And so every day that means you're saying, I'm in a leadership position, I'm have prosperity, and I'm never in a struggling position. When those times come and the enemy is telling you to retreat and you don't know what to do, think about Matthew 7:7-14. I'll read this. Ask, and the gift is yours. Seek, and you'll discover. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For every persistent one will give you what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Do you know any parent who would give his hungry child who asked for food a plate of rocks? Or when asked for a piece of fish, what parent would offer his child a snake instead? If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give you wonderful gifts to those who ask for Him? In everything you do, be careful to treat others the same way you want to treat them. For that is the essence of all things, the teaching of the law of the prophet. Enter through a narrow gate, because the wide gate and broad path is the way to lead to destruction. Nearly everyone chooses that crowded road. The narrow gate is a difficult way to lead to eternal life. So few even find it. I think about that. It says, very first thing it says is, ask, and the gift is yours. Well, I think of Mom, when we ask her for, any of us kids, we ask her for food, something we want, if it's whatever. We need to borrow a truck, a vehicle, whatever. She gets it. You don't even ask her. You just take it because you know she's going to say yes. Or we go to her house, which there's no knocking on the door. You just come in. But she'll do anything and everything she possibly can. But it's not even what our Heavenly Father can do for him. For example, with faith, to deal with faith, there's different ways. This is being You see these ads all the time, everybody taking a book or whatever, all that stuff to lose weight. We're going to face, so hang in there. If that's for a silly example, if you're wanting to lose weight and you're asking God to show you, because He'll show you how to do things, how to do it, actively praying, you have to do what you know how to do in the natural. Start there. And while you're doing that, pray. Maybe stop. Or two or three desserts, or drinking soda every night, that might help. I know it's hard this time of year with all the stuff going on, but you have to use a little bit of common sense with your faith. If you're looking for a job because you're unemployed, there's a gas station, there's Porter's or whatever they call it now, the dollar store. You can start there and get there early every day, work your hardest. You may not like the job, but it's a job and you didn't have one. And while you're there, you thank the Lord the whole time that the job you want is on its way, that you're good at the job and that you thrive in it, that you're above only. You have to be able to handle $1,000 before God can give you $100. I think of Ari. He always wants money. Anytime he comes and helps me, Jack, you gonna pay me? So I always give him money. Well, it doesn't matter what I give him, if it's $5 or $10. Next week, the money's gone and he hasn't bought anything. I don't know where it goes. But that's the same thing with us. I mean, he's got to develop to be able to handle that money, the same as we have to be able to handle prosperity and everything. With my business, I always say I want to build it with God on my side, because if I do it on my own, then I don't need God. And if I don't need God, destruction's probably going to come quick. We have thankful hearts. Think of it this way. Who's a coach going to get more opportunity to? The guy that gets there every day, early every day, gets shots up, works hard in practice, always the first one in the down backs, or the guy that, I changed my words here to lollygag. That's the lollygagger. Gets there right on time. Right once his practice starts at 6, he's there at 6, lacing up his shoes, and then goes and trots over to layup lines or whatever to get ready. Exact same thing with our faith in God. We can't be faith lollygagger, and that's biblical. So you can write that down. Sometimes when having faith, there is a waiting period, and most of the time, God is waiting for us to be ready. When I was in school, sorry, when I was in school, we used to, when I was like, well, probably Max's age and younger, probably honestly when I was in college too, but you would go to a trash can. Anybody know what you did when you went to the trash can? You shot it. And you know what you said? Kobe. That's right. Kobe. Kobe Bryant. You shoot it and you say Kobe. Which I said Jake because I was only going to make it, but Kobe. Anyways, Kobe. And so, you'd really, sometimes you'd get into it, do a little crossover and then step back. Kobe. You ever do that, Maddox? Exactly. So, I would, always want to be like Kobe. And, you'd shoot it and you'd yell extra loud so people know, because you wanted to be like him. Well, I wanted to be like him until I watched a documentary about him, about how hard it was. He got up at 4 a.m. every morning to practice, get ready. And, me, I'm like, yeah, I want to get up at 4 a.m., but did you actually get up at 4 a.m.? I wanted to say that. But I didn't want to walk the walk that Kobe did. I didn't want to put in the work that Kobe did. That's the same thing. You come into church and everybody's yelling, Jesus, Jesus, And a lot of people are saying the name of Jesus, but they didn't want to walk like Jesus. They didn't want to put in the work like Jesus. And they wonder whenever life, why life never changes. It's because when they're using his name, it's because they were using his name, but they were not walking how he walked. And that's where you always struggle because you say his name a lot, but you don't love. Sorry. That's where we struggle because just because you say his name a lot, you will not have the game that he has. You have to be in his presence so that whenever you walk with Jesus, he's ready. You have to walk the good walk of faith so that when the hard times come and you shoot your shot and say Jesus, he's ready because he knows that you're in tune with him and he's ready to accept and handle whatever you have for him, whatever you've thrown at him. So never retreat. We serve a God of only good. So when things spiral, go astray, look like defeat, we have to pause and recognize that there are two forces on earth, good and evil. God is only good. So if you're in that place of feeling defeat, get in the Word, look for the areas you can grow and change, and do your part activating your faith. When we activate our faith, we release power so that the Lord can overcome, or so that the Lord can come out victorious for us in every situation. And my iPad just died, so. Thank you, Lord, for these people, and that we'll be safe and a big good. Amen.